Woodhouse GMC is bringing you more. With every new GMC purchase from Woodhouse, we're including 3 years of scheduled maintenance. Plus, with our current lease offers going on now, you'll save even more. Lease a 2024 GMC Terrain SLE for $397 a month for 39 months, 10,000 miles per year. $0 due at signing. Woodhouse GMC. We are professional grade. With approved credit, must finance with GM Financial. Must currently lease a 2019 or newer Buick or GMC vehicle to qualify. Offer expires April 30th, 2024. See dealer for details.
Bob.
Hey, Bob.
He's a four-time tire rotation champion. When he was a baby, his first words were automatic transmission fluid. Bob's so cool, he has engine coolant running through his veins. And then there's Kyle, also known as Premium Unleaded. Legend has it that Kyle can change your oil with his toes, and that he can tell your tire's air pressure just by how you're walking. He's Bob, he's Kyle, and every Saturday morning they morph together to form the greatest superhero known to man, Mr. Mechanic. Check engine lights don't stand a chance. This is the Mr. Mechanic Show on 1110 KFAB.
Great Saturday morning to you. This is the Mr. Mechanic Show. We are an interactive call-in show where you've got the questions, we help you with the answers, get you back out to the garage, the front driveway, side of the house. Where are we going to fix that car today? It's going to be a great day out there. It's going to be 80, 83. So this is a great time to get it done so that you can, maybe we help you along with that project that you're trying to get done, but just not sure the next spot to go. So 402-558-1110 is the numbers to get in. Get in early because we always kind of fill up during half time or half of the show and on to the end. We want to make sure we get to your call. So I'm Bob. Sitting next to me always is Kyle. And we are Buchanan Service Centers at 50th and Dodge, 80th and Dodge. Guaranteed Brakes, 49th Avenue and Dodge. You know, Kyle, I think this weekend is the second swap meet of the year out at Wahoo.
I always find some good stuff there.
You got to get there early.
Yeah, you know, we went to Lincoln and I found one thing.
Yeah.
And I saw a couple things that I was like, maybe.
It's always interesting to see the things that are made up in somebody's garage, like an air compressor that's made out of parts that are just sitting there.
Oh, yeah, you got a water heater with a steam engine and a belt-driven thing.
Yeah, yeah.
A radio flyer wagon that pumps out 90 PSI.
It is. Somebody's got and you look at some people, they got a lot of time on their hands, and they just make some kind of cool-looking art kind of stuff, which I don't necessarily possess that kind of ability. I just look at it and see what it is, and then we fix it after that.
Yeah.
But there's always some. And it looks like it's going to be a great weekend. Usually it's either cold or crappy or snowing.
I've been at that swap meet in pouring rain, thunderstorms, 80-mile-an-hour winds, snow, sleet, ice, freezing rain, hail, you name it.
Yep.
I've been there.
Yep. It's all – and now that everything's – like I say, you got to get there early because about 10 o'clock, that's when all the families come out and want to get all the –
about the time church lets out, and let's go to the flea market. Okay.
It's different. It used to be a car flea market. Now it's kind of just a little bit of everything. So, but if you want
last year, I mean, I listened to a guy's little sales spiel for like probably a good 5 to 8 minutes about all these VCRs he was selling. He said, this one's this, and this one's like,
VCRs, you can get CDs.
I don't know if I need a VCR.
No, you don't.
You know, at the Lincoln one, I mean, there was a guy at a whole table. All he was selling was 8-track tapes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the streaming market's kind of killed that. You can get anything you want.
Yeah.
Anything you want.
You get on Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or eBay. I mean,
yeah.
No point in setting up your table and going out to the fairgrounds.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I got a couple articles here. Kyle, this is an interesting one. Ford is given $1,000 kind of a rebate upfront money to those people that are, because the Camaro is kind of going away, the Dodge Charger is kind of going away, going to all EV. I wonder how that's going to work for them. Being sales down, that just might go away. Dodge Challenger, also those kind of, so Ford's saying we still have V8 powered Mustangs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to come over and, trade in that and buy ours, we'll give you an extra $1,000.
Huh. And how much does a Mustang cost?
Oh, I don't know. Depends on how big a motor you want.
Yeah, I know you can get them for $1,000, but I'm not sure that that's the one that they're talking about.
No, that's not the one they're talking about. They're talking about brand new ones. So if you get the V6 ones, yeah, those kind of, they look the same as the high horsepower ones, but they don't go anywhere. They don't go anywhere very fast.
No.
But I mean, if you're not getting into 650, 750 horsepower.
Yeah, why buy a sports car?
Why are you going to buy it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have just got the Escort or the Probe and, you know, saved yourself a lot of money.
Been done. And I don't know if you watch very much NASCAR at all. I watch it kind of here and there.
Once in a while.
But it might be worth watching more now, just because when it rains, they're starting to, last week or the couple weeks ago, they put rain tires on.
So they're going in the rain.
They're going in the rain. So it was, you know, before that was always canceled when it was raining, which is never a fun thing to watch.
I think they should have just kept going. Just all those guys started out on dirt. They know how to steer into a skid. They can make this happen.
Apparently, so they got these tires and they got a little bit of rain tires, and now they can start in the rain. Mm-hmm. So I suppose if it warms up, I don't know all the rules as far as what they. I'm sure they got a ton of rules, but
they're going to have wipers on the car.
Well, it didn't have wipers. It said right in the article, no wipers.
Right. Rain-X is a sponsor.
That could be. Yep, I'm sure that's they distributed Rain-X tablets or washcloths throughout the pit area. No mud flaps or no visible lights. Just you know. Kind of like driving in Nebraska in a rainstorm. You just don't know what's in front of you sometimes.
I remember coming back from one of those races and there's tornadoes and everything else. I mean, because Kansas is, you know, that's tornado bait area.
Yeah.
And I was like, what if they just kept the race going during this? I mean, lightning and tornadoes, the whole deal.
They got rubber on the ground, so if the lightning hits that, it's more about spectators, I think, Kyle. It's more about you and I.
You've been to a NASCAR race? Those people want to see it.
They'll
sacrifice whatever it takes.
I have when it rains, too, and it's not any fun. It's just it's cold, wet, and miserable. But anyway, they're trying something new, and they made it a whole 400 miles without any major crashes or anything else. So
let's pass that on to the NHRA guys.
Yeah.
Can you imagine 12,000 horsepower in the rain?
Yeah. With a little better, you know, a little stickier tires with tread on them. I don't know
how that would work out at all.
I don't know if that's going to work out at all. It might, but at least they're trying. I mean, you always see it with the F1s when they went out racing and the Indy cars went out racing. So
yeah,
why not? You know,
how much rain? I mean, because they got to have a drain inside those cockpits of those Indy cars or the F1 cars. Because I mean, the thing would fill up.
Yeah, well, you're going so fast, no rain probably gets in.
Faster than the speed of rain.
Faster than the speed of rain is probably about right. Well, so they started a little bit late, but they ended up, so that took them till like 11 p.m. Eastern. So it took all day to race it.
Yeah.
But they got places to be on Monday. Otherwise, they got to race it on Monday.
Who wants to do that on a Monday?
And you know who's there on Monday? Nobody.
Yeah.
Everybody went back to work. Except for those retired people that were able to stick out and find a motel.
Yeah, we're not missing this.
No, not at all. But, you know, unfortunately, the one good thing you get to see is the crashes. And that's what we're looking for is crashes, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's half the fun. I don't know why that is. I mean, why are we so obsessed with destruction? I mean, I got an app on my phone that is just guys throwing cars and motorcycles into shredders.
Well,
and it just shreds them.
Yeah.
You know how relaxing that is just to go home and watch that?
I'm sure it is.
Because there's
some things that go into there. You're just not sure that it's going to get shredded, but it always does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was...
I think the hard stuff is easy and the soft stuff is hard. Munching up foam, for example, would probably be more difficult than munching up a whole car.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the one where they drop like an army tank or something really big in there. I don't know if they have a big enough shredder, but
no, you'd have to. And that, well, it's just all metal, so of course those things are pretty thick too.
They are. That's why I want to see it.
That's absolutely. You got to watch stuff like that. That's for sure.
I mean, if they made like a vertical one, I'd drive a boat into it.
Yeah. I mean, do you reduce that the landfill? I mean, why not? It's a great idea. I'll have to watch more of that, Kyle, to see how it works.
Yeah, I'll send you some links.
I'm sure there are some other car shows out and around this area. It's getting to be kind of car show time. We've seen a few cars come out wanting to get kind of spiffed up and get going and kind of go for the show car season.
It's a vicious cycle. We get them ready for winter. We get them ready for summer.
Yep.
Winterize them again in a few months.
Yep.
Back out for summer.
Yep. You know, you're just trying to make it so that you can make it there and back without having any kind of problems.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy that pulls up to shut your car off and there's a huge leak underneath it. You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, or the car, you know, because it was just invariable a problem back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. It when the car got hot, it just would crank super hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you couldn't get anywhere. You know, car die in traffic.
Yeah, you're vaporizing fuel and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, we've talked about this so many times. How far have we come from carburetors?
Points. Vacuum advance.
You know, and some of them were, and then back when the Model T days, they had magnetos.
Oh, weren't those fun?
Oh, they fired right off. But now the we kind of weakened it up, and fuel injection is way better. Way, 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 way better. For those of you who don't know. It's way better. If you get a carburetor, you go buy a carbureted car, it's work. I tell you what.
Yeah, you got to know what you're doing. Otherwise, you're going to learn.
Well, yeah. The biggest problem with those is that how it ran yesterday is not how it's going to run today. It's a flip of a coin. Say, you know, you go out to the garage, fire it up, and it could be running great. Then it wants to die. It just...
That happened... last summer, we were at Pike's Peak, and there was a guy heading up on MG, and when he got to the top, boy, that thing was lean.
Yes, I'd imagine.
He was two-footing that thing and trying to shift it, and I was like, I know exactly what's happening.
Yeah, and lean, what that means is you're just not getting enough fuel. And then he had everything adjusted for down at base.
Take it 14,000 feet up. Yeah. And, oh, God.
Now everything is super lean. No fuel's going to it. It's choking. It doesn't want to go anywhere. It's all adjusted for down on the ground.
Yeah.
And
he made it to the top. But
yeah, it misfiring and everything else.
Yeah, it was pinging. It was bad.
All right, we're going to take a quick break on the Mr. Mechanic Show. 558-1110 is the numbers to get in. We'll be back in a minute.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Mr. Mechanic Show presents a live in-studio performance from Kobe Teeth. We got Mustangs and Mercedes and minivans packed full of babies. And we got Hummers.
Yeah, we do.
And fancy Beamers.
Uh-huh.
For guys to make up for little and those electric cars, they sure do sound bizarre.
Sounds like a can opener.
Mm-hmm. I love these cars. Got El Camino, half car, half truck.
I know where you're going with this.
The front is where we sit, the back is where we find stuff.
What?
Ford Pinto's a POS. Volkswagen Beetles for guys who wear a dress.
Hey, I don't wear a dress.
And the GPS tells my wife that she's lost.
Where am I?
It says there's a road here.
I love these cars.
I love my car so much I want to marry it.
I love these cars.
I love these cars.
I like to race.
I like to race.
And when I see a gremlin on the side of the road, it puts a big smile on my face. I love these cars.
I love these cars.
Even if they don't start. I love these cars.
Y'all drive safe now, you hear?
The Mr. Mechanic Show is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Two locations, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha.
Steve, what's up today?
I got an 08 Explorer and an 09 Mustang, and they both got the 4-liter engine. I need to change the spark plugs in them. What should I do prior to taking them out so they don't get stuck?
Those are the ones that break off?
Right. I mean, They've been in there real long, and they're in an aluminum head, so I was just curious what you would recommend doing.
Basically, with any of those, you know, they got that nose cone, and that's what breaks off of them. The best luck I've had is I use an impact on all of them, and I have very few break off. I mean, I've heard some guys spraying, you know, penetrating oil and everything down mm-hmm. there, but anybody that's done that and got it in the cylinders, I mean, you create kind of a poor running issue for, you know, the first couple seconds it's running.
Yeah.
Ping and make you think that you did something bad. And
it usually comes out of it. Yeah. Goes away.
But
yeah,
I don't know if that's really ever helped me, you know, doing them by hand. I've broken so many off before I started just using an impact on all of them. And since I did that, I have pretty good success.
Yeah. That's the easiest thing.
Just use a half inch impact on them?
No, 3/8.
3/8.
Yep.
You know?
Okay.
Or if that's all you got is a half inch, you can kind of
tune it down.
Tune it down a little bit, you know.
But yeah, use a 3/8 impact. Coming out only, put them back in by hand. Don't put them back in with the impact.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'll try that. Thank you.
Yep. You bet.
If not, we got the tools to get them out. We've done plenty of those.
I think I've worn out two sets of that
tool. Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. We're going to go over to John. John's got a question about fixing computers. John, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. About a year ago, you guys mentioned something about somebody that can rebuild or fix computers. I need to know that number and address if you got it, please.
Ooh, I don't have it right off top of my head.
It would be like computer 150 or something like that.
No. 150 tunes is... I mean, they break into your computer, like if you're doing a computer swap. There is a company, they're all eBay-based. I think that they're called, don't quote me, I think it's Flashmaster or something like that. But basically, they're all eBay-based, and you find your computer on there, and their phone number will be on the eBay ad. And you can... They can either rebuild your computer or they'll swap you out for a new one.
And one of the reasons to do that is to...
What was the name of that first place you told me, sir?
150 Tunes?
150 Tunes.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try them. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day, guys. God bless you. You got a wonderful program, too, by the way. I want you to know that.
Well, appreciate that. Appreciate you listening. Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye.
All right. Yeah, so you know, a lot of times you'll have a problem where they'll misfiring. It's through a driver in the computer.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's why you're doing that. And but you've got to relearn everything to the car as far as the
VIN number, what
paths.
Options it has.
Yeah, security, all that kind of stuff. So if they take the VIN number, that'll tell you what it is. You can send your computer off to, you order one. And then you install it in the car, do what they want to do. The car starts and runs because they've already done the programming. And then you send yours back to get them rebuilt. Now, I will say that we've done that quite a few different times, and we've had good success. I'd say mm-hmm. we probably 75%.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other 25%, we've had problems and had to turn it back in and have them redo it again
mm-hmm.
Because it didn't whatever they were doing was just –
And I mean,
right.
That kind of thing with computers these days, that kind of stuff's going to happen because, right. I mean, you can imagine, I mean, they don't just have a lot with every car in it where they can plug it in and use it. I mean, they have, you know, a handful of connectors. They put power to it. Is there a signal coming out? Cool. Is there a signal coming out on this? I mean, there's room for error there. There's a lot of room for error.
There's a lot of room. There's a lot of things that could be going on.
The
there.
Average computer on a car, I mean, even 10-year-old car, I mean, you've got over 100 wires going into this thing.
Yeah.
That all have a job.
Yeah. They're far smarter now than the space shuttle we sent up 20 years ago.
By far, yeah.
By far. We're going to head over to Gary. Gary's got a 2020 Durango. Gary, what's up today?
Hi. Enjoy your show, guys.
Thank you.
I try and tune in every week.
What's up with the Durango today?
You talked about carburetors. I got a car with three of them.
Oh, yeah.
Which one's having the problem?
I've got
the Durango. How do you get access to the battery? It's under the passenger seat.
Well, the short version is. We just take the seat out.
Yeah.
It's only you got to unbolt the whole darn seat?
Yeah. Four screws, and you just tip it back.
It's not that. It sounds terrible, but it's not really. You just, or you can take some of them, and I can't remember right off the top of my head, but you're right. You take the back screws out, and then you pull it all the way back, and then you take the front screws out, a couple of clips for airbags, and you just kind of take it out. Or, and I don't remember that one right away, but you can take the front two out, and they've made it so that the seat will tip backwards, and mm-hmm. you can kind of get it that way.
Yeah.
It's kind of an intimidating job to look at, but once you get in there and do it, it's not bad.
No, I looked at it. It looks like there's a multi-pin connector in
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of those can't come apart ones.
yeah, and there's
and sometimes you don't have to unplug those. They give you a long enough cable to where you can just leave those plugged in, and then I'll just lean the seat, the back of the seat all the way forward. Then I can just tip it up, prop it up with a 2x4, do my work, and get out of there.
Yeah. Sometimes you're going through the back door in order to get to it. Sometimes you're going through the front door, and you just lean it into the back seat just a little bit. Yeah, I think they ran out of room. They did run out of room.
Yeah. I would have thought they would have made some kind of lever you pull so the seat would tip back, you know, make it simple.
Yeah, well.
Like the old Blazers.
Yeah, yeah, well.
Tip that thing up, you could get people in the back.
And they don't expect those things to go out every 4 or 5 years, and most people will look at that and they'll just take it to the garage and have it done. So it's, and you know, batteries that stay inside the car that have air conditioning and heat to them last a whole lot longer than underneath the hood. I don't know why they haven't been doing it for years.
I was a little concerned about the connections and if they were getting corroded or something like that. I wonder.
Rarely do we ever see it inside the car.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I can't remember the last time I had to get in there and do a cable repair inside the car.
I see more cable connections getting unplugged underneath the seat coming from shoes, high heels, water bottles, and all the other crap that you see that's in.
Oh, gosh.
That's underneath the seat and just thrown behind. I see that all the time.
You know how many t-shirts I've dug out of seat tracks?
Yeah. It's just
my seat doesn't work.
Yeah,
let's give it a look at.
Yep, exactly.
Well, I was hoping there was something simple.
No, and that's probably the easier one. I can tell you Porsche Cayennes, or you got to put that seat all the way forward and push it all the way into the steering wheel, and then you got to fight to get it out. So in the grand scheme of things, yours isn't too bad.
Well, I might give it a try.
Yeah.
I was just a little concerned about the quality of the connections, and I didn't realize being inside it made a difference.
Yep. Yeah, it does. It really does.
Maybe that explains why I got 17 years on a battery in my 30 Highboy.
Mm-hmm.
It was
mm-hmm.
in the trunk.
Yep. All right, Gary.
All right, well, enjoy your show, guys.
Yep.
Thank you.
You bet. Appreciate the call. All right, we're going to take a quick break on the Mr. Mechanic Show. If you're online or if you're on hold, just hang there. We'll be back in a bit.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is brought to you by Buchanan Service Center. Call to schedule your appointment today at 402-393-2722.
Back over to Tom. Tom's got an 04 LeSabre. Tom, thanks for hanging on.
Good morning. It's been a great car, has 248,000 miles on it, and recently it developed a hum. Oops.
Okay.
Am I even on? I'm not on.
Yep. Nope. We can hear you.
Okay. I thought something happened to my phone.
Nope.
But, so it has a hum around, most noticeable between 50 and 60 miles an hour, kind of a vibration. If I was to describe the noise, it'd be like the old rear-wheel drive differentials when the gears didn't line up quite right, but there's no change in acceleration or deceleration.
I think you got a bad wheel bearing.
Very constant.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you got a bad wheel bearing, or you got tires that are cupped just a little bit. So, is this noise loud, or is it not so loud?
Not really loud. It doesn't change on turning. I didn't know about wheel bearings. Wheel bearings are a lot newer than the CV joints. CV joints are original.
Yeah.
And the tires, I can't notice anything on the tires. They have good tread, but they have 70,000 miles on.
I agree with Kyle that you've got a wheel bearing that's bad. And if you got one in the rear, it's probably louder than what you know. But actually, because it's behind you and you're traveling down the road, the sound doesn't catch up to you. Your wheel bearings in front, when they go bad, are pretty easy to spot and hear because they're in front of you and you can hear that noise. So I would probably suspect that you've, based on it's not that loud, and it just kind of came on, that you probably either got tires in the rear that are cupped on the inside mm-hmm. edges most of the time, or you got a wheel bearing that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will check that for sure.
Yeah, and you can try rotating your tires, see if that changes anything. It's kind of a quick, you know.
Yeah, if you rotate the tires and it gets worse, well, then we know we got tire problems because now those cupped, choppy tires are now in front that you can hear, and
they're on the business end of the drivetrain.
Yep, they're on the business end, so that you'll be able to hear that noise louder, and then once you rotate them back or get new tires, then you'll probably hear that go away. So, and that's kind of what we do when we hear that, we'll lift it up and then we'll spin the tires, and we got what we call just a mechanic stethoscope. It doesn't look like a normal one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a rod, but it allows you to be able to pinpoint a quiet bearing or a noisy bearing. Okay.
But I was hoping it wasn't the transmission.
I would doubt it.
Yeah, you know, hums can come from a lot of different things, but by and large, we have wheel bearings are the most common on that car, especially with the miles you got on it. And I'm sure you put wheel bearings on the front at that kind of mileage. But you probably haven't done
it. Yeah, I have more than one.
You probably haven't done it in the rear, though, have you?
You know, I think I have the rear. Yeah, several years ago, I think I did the rear ones.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I can't remember. I think the brakes. The brakes are kind of goofy on the rear because of the parking brake system.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
But I'll definitely check on the rear bearings because I can't remember for sure.
The fronts were very common to go bad, and the rears not so much. But the miles you have leads me towards that. So. And it might be kind of tough to diagnose for you to be able to drive down the road. It might be you have to go to a garage or you know, we'll call us and we can get diagnostic for you and figure out where it's at and kind of pinpoint it down, because hums can be, you're right, can be a lot of different things. Is it in your transmission? I don't think so, but you know, until you hear it and experience it, you don't know for sure.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You bet. Appreciate it, Tom.
The trend today is to say we enjoy your show, but we can gladly join that trend. I do enjoy listening to your show.
Well, good. I'm glad you listen. We appreciate the call for sure. All right, we're going to head over to Bud. Bud's got an oil question. Bud, what's going on today?
Hey, guys. I, too, appreciate your show and enjoy it every week.
Yeah, good.
I bought a new Toyota a while back, and its manufacturer recommends 0W16. Motor oil, which is mm-hmm. to me is kind of weird. I suppose the engineers are allegedly smarter than most people, but that's what they recommend for the car. My question is 5W20 full synthetic a good substitute for the 0W16? I'm just not comfortable with zero weight viscosity.
Well, the 0W20 is, I mean, it's They're just kind of watering.
Yeah, it's the consistency of water.
Yeah, they're watering down the 0W20 to make 0W16. You know,
when you go heavier on oils, you get what's called oil damming mm-hmm. going on your bearings and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And that can become a big issue, especially, I mean, now that our cars have VVT, their tolerances are, I mean, you can't even plastic gauge these engines because you won't have anything left. I mean, the tolerances are so tight is why we're going to these thinner oils. I mean, we've seen cars come in that recommend a certain weight of oil. And I mean, they won't run worth a darn with heavy oil in them because mm-hmm. none of your timing can work. It can't get through the passages. I mean, so you could create some bigger problems by going heavier on oil.
And Kyle's exactly right. The reason they go to 0W16 is because the clearances are so tight, and 0W20, for example, can't make it into the bearings. It can't seep into between the journal and the bearing like it should. And the 0W16 is even thinner to allow for that lubrication. So if you want to do it, you know, I wouldn't do it. Because it's underneath any kind of warranty, and that's the first thing they're going to call into question is, have you maintained the car like we asked you to? But Yeah, no, and we've had to start. That was something we never really had. You know, all of a sudden here now we're getting a lot of 016 cars. So, you know, that's something oil we never used to stock, but we, you know, it's a part of our deal now. So
I'm old school on engines and maintenance and stuff like that, so I'm always ahead of the curve on it. But it just, I look at that 016, and truly it is like water, and it's just hard to believe that
it has
any protective quality.
I know it. But, you know, you're running that 016 is full synthetic, and that's the only way you can get those numbers down there is to be a full synthetic. And the farther up in those numbers you go, I mean, 520 is where you can go semi.
Yeah.
And then semi-synthetic, and once you drop down to low, it has to be full. And full synthetic is just the absolute best. It's just, it lubricates a lot better. It holds the dirt. It holds everything, all the contaminants, way, way, way better than regular oil. Yeah, so
I'm a big believer in full synthetic. I even, all my small engines, I've converted all of those to full synthetic, and it just does a much better job, I believe.
It does. It also finds
oil. A lot cleaner.
It's a lot cleaner. Finds a lot of oil leaks, should you have them. It'll bring out a leak in an engine that didn't leak oil, and you put full synthetic in it after 80,000 miles. It'll have oil leaks. Yeah. But no, I agree. And it was kind of disconcerting when we kind of started looking at this stuff and pouring it out of a bucket. It's like, oh my gosh. But
yes.
Well, you're right.
I'll have to get over myself and convert a 016 in my head, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think the engineers have got it down. At least the oil engineers do. And sometimes sometimes the rest of the engineers working on cars every day. I don't know that they're they shouldn't work from home. They should have to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like everything is built for planned obsolescence these days. So I guess I'm leery of a lot of things.
It is. You know. You can't even buy a fly swatter now that doesn't break after the second time, and fly swatters you bought back in 1952 are still around.
Yeah.
So I agree with you 100%.
All right. I appreciate you guys. Thank you
very
much.
Appreciate it, buddy.
You know, and I didn't realize how expensive synthetic oil is getting. And
yeah, it is.
You know, it's not like, I mean, because you have to have it. I mean, if you're, you know, driving down the road and wherever, I mean, finding 016, you know, on the side of the road in any small town, you're probably not going to get it. I mean,
no, probably not. And then what they recommend, should you have that kind of car, is they recommend you just kind of go the next step up. Let's just say 020 to top off and until you can go get it replaced with whatever's, you know, appropriate for that car. So my rule of thumb has always been, because I have a lot of people come in and say, well, I don't have the exact one. I need a quart of oil, and you don't have the exact one, or I can't find this. They more want the brand, because we have all sorts of the oils that you need.
Sure.
It was the brand. And I always say, something in there is better than nothing in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
And then when you get done, go change it back to what it's supposed to be. But let's not run it low while you're driving all over town. And
that's what I love about my Ford Falcon.
Takes, you know, everything.
Yeah, you can be in any small town, walk into any gas station, get a can of Jed Clampett brand dinosaur sauce for 50 cents, pour it in there, you're good. It does not care.
No, it don't care. You could throw cat through the clearance bearings on that car, too.
Oh, yeah.
And it still doesn't rattle.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break on the Mr. Mechanic Show. We'll be back in a minute.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is powered by Buchanan Service Center, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha.
Paul, what's up today?
Hey, I got a 99 Saturn, and the coolant is full, but the low coolant warning lights are on, and I can't find the switch for low coolant.
It's on the bottom of the tank.
Yep.
You got that surge tank where you check your antifreeze? It's on the bottom of that. Sometimes you can.
Wouldn't I spot a wire going to that?
There is.
Yeah, sometimes they run it through the fender and you can't really see it.
Yeah, comes right up under the bottom. Pull that coolant bottle up and you'll see it. And a lot of times that sensor, it was a very poor design, believe it or not. And how we used to do it is you'd pull it up.
Paper clip.
Well, the sensor is pushed into just a plastic slot in the bottom of the bottle. And that piece can get pushed up farther and the connector becomes unconnected. So a lot of times what you have to do is take a pair of needle nose pliers and take it out of there and then put it into the bottom, put it into your connector and then slowly push it up into the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do that, I don't know really how it works. It must have temperature.
It's got a float.
Got a float in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if that don't work, go buy a new bottle, because that a lot of times those sensors will go bad a lot, and just buying a new bottle solved your problem. But I would lift it up first and see if you can't solve it that way.
Okay, hey, it's got like 200,000 miles and it's using oil. Summer's coming up. What kind of oil would I put in there to reduce the consumption?
530.
Yeah, 530. I mean, it's got 200,000 miles. The rings are weak. The oil, the oil control rings are weak, and that's why it's burning oil. I mean, you're on borrowed time as it is, I think, probably, aren't you? How much oil consumption is it? A little bit or a lot?
I'd say maybe a quart a month.
No, that's not bad.
Yeah. And I don't see smoke or anything like that either.
No, it's...
Is there an additive that might help?
No. Additives are generally thinner. I mean, unless you go to, like, STP oil treatment, that's some really heavy stuff.
The Mr. Mechanic Show is powered by Buchanan Service Center, 79th and Dodge and 50th and Dodge in Omaha.
Woodhouse Nissan is an easy choice when shopping for your next vehicle. Lease the 2024 Nissan Sentra SV with $0 down for just $297 a month. Or purchase for $341 a month for 75 months through NMAC financing. This is Woodhouse Nissan. Lease for 36 months, 5,000 miles per year. With approved credit, tax, title, license, extra, first payment, and $299 dock fee due at signing. Discounted price based on a sale price of $22,009. $500 MY24 Sentra NMAC bonus cash rebate. And $750 NMAC cash rebate available towards deal. VIN number RY275251. Offer expires April 30th, 2024. See dealer for details.